It is so good to be with you again this Sunday morning, as it is each Sunday morning at the same time, and we hope that you have your Bibles in front of you, and if you do, would you kindly turn with us, if you will, to John chapter 19, and then we'll continue our Bible study here. It has just worked out this way that we're in the section of John here that deals with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We did not really plan it that way, but we are glad that it worked out that way, that we're here at the resurrection time on Easter Sunday. If you're over now in your Bibles to John chapter 19, we would like to call your attention just briefly here and showing here that in the Bible, when God says something is going to come to pass, it will always come to pass. Now, he notice here in verse 24, and we're only using this for emphasis now, just to emphasize to you, especially you that are here, number one, that have not put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Bible is true. There has never been anything. Now, there are things yet that God has prophesied that have not come to pass because it is not time for them yet to come to pass. But everything that God had prophesied that is time for it to come to pass has come to pass, and there has never been a mistake in the Word of God. Notice in verse 24, you'll find out here, the word fulfilled. It says that they said, therefore, among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, his robe, and whose it shall be, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. Notice in verse 28, the last line, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. And then he said, I thirst. Notice in verse 36, if you will, for these things were done that the Scripture should be fulfilled. Now, God's word is going to be fulfilled. And folks, it's being fulfilled every day, and it will be fulfilled concerning you and your life. Do you know that God said that if you believe not, that you are already condemned? And that means that you'll never live with Christ in heaven for all eternity. You are already condemned. You're condemned in the body when you're born by your natural birth, and that's why God said it takes a new birth, a brand new one. Let me ask you this. Have you been born again? Born again simply means that Jesus Christ died to pay for my sins. My faith is in him, and he imparts to me the Holy Spirit. That is my new birth. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into the body of Christ. Have you been born again? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, our emphasis is this. It will be fulfilled whether you believe it or not. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to be the wisest thing you have ever done in your life, because then when you die, you're passed from death unto life. But if you believe not, you are already condemned, and even though you do not believe the Bible, you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will spend eternity in the lake of fire, even though you don't believe it. Now, the minute after you die, you will be a believer, just like the man in Luke 16. So God has put in here and emphasized these things have been fulfilled to try to impress you that what he said about you and believing on him will be fulfilled. He hopes you'll believe on him because he'd love for you to be passed from death unto life. Well, let's go on down. We come to a man that probably is a representative of every person born in this world, and his name is Nicodemus. Now notice here, if you will, in verse 38. And after that, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus, and there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, and about 100 pound weight. They then took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now the place that where he was crucified, there was a garden, and the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never a man laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because the Jews' preparation day for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. Now, let me draw your attention, if I may, to a man by the name of Nicodemus. Nicodemus is only mentioned 3 times in the Bible, and all 3 times it is found in the Gospel of John. Do you recall that clear back in John chapter 3, verse 3, and we're just pointing this out here because it's imperative, and I believe that it represents every person born into this world. You are in one of these 3 places. Do you know that clear back in John chapter 3, verse 3, when Nicodemus came to the Lord Jesus Christ, he came by night and he was in what is called the darkness of confusion. But I want to say one thing about this man that needs to be complimented. He did come to Christ. He was inquisitive enough to come and to find out and to search the scriptures and to search and look and to see. You might be one sitting out there so hard-hearted and so hard-headed, both, that you don't even have enough brains to come and search and see. You're just going to sit at home with your hardness that you have. You're not going to budge for an inch. You're going to die and go right straight to hell when you die. And the laugh, fellow, is going to be on you, nobody else. Yet, you did not and would not, like Nicodemus, come and see and have enough sense to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and to find out if these things were true. So Nicodemus on this first trip was in the darkness of confusion, but he did come. And that led to chapter 7, verse 50, where then he moved from the darkness of confusion on up to the dawn of conviction. And there's where he sort of represented the Lord Jesus Christ. He was convicted. He had heard Christ tell him that except a man be born again of the water and of the Spirit, as the water of God's Word, the cleansing agent, and the Spirit, as the Holy Spirit given when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that except we're born of the Word of God and of the Spirit of God, then we cannot have eternal life. You got to be born again. And then they rebuke Christ, and Nicodemus stands up for him and says, "Do you try this man without, unless you hear him?" So he was convicted that Jesus Christ really was the Son of God. And then we come to him a third time here, and we find him here in the 19th chapter here, the Gospel of John, and find out now that he moved from the darkness of conviction to the darkness of confusion to the dawn of conviction, and now he moves out to the daylight of confession, and he confesses outwardly being identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. He now is in the true light, and he's in the daylight of confession, and he is a saved, born-again believer. Now, let me ask you something. You listening are in one of those three categories this morning. You're either in the darkness of confusion, but before that'll ever change, you need to come. You need to talk to someone who can show you the scriptures, answer your questions, give you the right answers biblically here, and represent the Lord Jesus Christ the way he should be represented. You need to find someone like that. Go to your pastor, go to somebody, and the Lord will lead you to go to the right person to go to in order that's going to give you the answer so you can get out of the darkness of confusion and get into the dawn of conviction and realize that you need a Savior. Nicodemus needed a Savior. And then we come on down here and find out in the 19th chapter here where he was in the daylight of confession, he was now identifying himself with the Lord Jesus Christ and he was saved. You're in one of those three categories. Let me ask you this morning, which one are you in? Are you still in the darkness of confusion? Or are you convicted that you need a Savior? Well, if you do, and you're listening to the broadcast this morning, right now where you're at, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't even have to bow your head. You don't even have to close your eyes. You don't have to get down on your knees. You can do it right now, right where you sit, right where you stand, right in your home if you're listening. And just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I know that I've sinned. I don't want to go to hell and pay for my own sin. Believe on him right now, and you'll be as Nicodemus in the third and final step. You'll be in that category. You'll be identified as being saved. You'll be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he moved from the darkness of confusion to that of conviction, and then on up to the daylight of confession, and therefore he's identified with Jesus Christ. Now, we come on down, something we would like to point out here, if we may. Notice up here, if you will, in verse 39 again, "And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. And took they the body of Jesus and wound it in the linen clothes." Now I'm going to stop here and I want to bring something out because I am myself as a pastor. I don't want deceived and I don't want fooled. I am so sick of religious churches bringing out things that are phony in order to try to impress people that they have some special insight with God, that it almost makes me sick, folks. Now, let me say this, if I may. Read the verse again. "And when they took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, after the manner of the Jews is to bury, they wound it in linen clothes." Now, it says the body. I would like for you to go right on over with me now to the 20th chapter here, if you will, and I would like for you to begin here to read in the 5th verse, if you will. They came to the sepulchre, and then in verse 4, and he stooping down and looking in saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie. Notice in verse 7, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Now, I've had this asked I don't know how many times about the Shroud of Turin. That is in Turin, Italy. What about the Shroud of Turin that the Roman Catholic Church has? What about it? Let me tell you just plain bluntly, it's the biggest farce that ever was. Let me tell you, and you follow the scripture here. You see, let me say this. Whenever you find that a church or an organization, now I'm not saying if it would be the Baptist Church is doing what the Catholic Church is doing in this particular case, it would make no difference to me, then the Baptist churches would be wrong. If it be the Methodist, the Lutheran Church, or Christ, or any others, it doesn't matter to me what they call themselves, I could care less. But it does matter to me what they teach, which is phony, and what they teach, which is untrue. That is the thing that needs to be exposed, not the fact of who they are. If they are and they're doing it, then they ought to be exposed. You ought to know about it. But I have, and I purchased this quite a few years ago, I've got a large photograph here of which is the Shroud of Turin, and I have it before me making the broadcast here. And I picked it up again and read on the back of it and so forth, and I have a little instruction book here that tells where it come from and so on and so forth. I want to read you this just a little bit, if I may. And it says, the most amazing discovery of our age. And this photograph is of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it goes on down and tells about the negative, and the negative from which this photograph of Jesus was made was developed in the tomb. Now, if you buy that, you've got to be absolutely retarded, if I may say so. If you want to buy that, you don't have two oars in the water, or you're one brick short of a load. Now, whatever it might be, but was developed in the tomb during the hours of our Lord that lay there before his resurrection. folks, I tell you, I don't even need to make a comment. If you want to believe that, I don't believe there's any hope for you. I really don't. But anyway, that it was developed in the tomb is unbelievable, that they would even put a statement like that. And then it comes on down, and I have the little booklet here, and it tells me here the winding of the sheet, and they have a description here, and they're showing the body of Jesus. In other words, they laid a big sheet down, and this is the picture. I've got the drawing here. If you stop by my office, I'll show it to you. And they laid the body of Jesus. It's open on both sides. Then they put it right on up around his head and down to his feet again. Now, that is not what happened in the Bible. You know something that's amazing is churches and religion to try to convince you, look, we've got something. We've got the insight to Jesus. We've got it. Now, you come with our organization. Christ has blessed us. He's left us something here. He didn't leave anybody else. And all this big mystery surrounds all these things, and you're supposed to be impressed with it, and you're supposed to go there because God has his hand upon that church. Baloney. I've never seen anything like it in my life. And yet, you sit out there as an individual, and you buy that stuff, and it's unreal. If you were to apply the same thing in your business, you wouldn't buy it, you wouldn't give a dime for it unless you had proof and one thing or another, and then you come up with this, and you're just set in awe and say, whatever they feed me, I'm going to swallow, and you don't even challenge anything. Well, let me point out, if I may, number one, they wrapped the body. They didn't do as this little booklet here says, where Christ rises again from his shroud. Number one, just let me ask you something, if I may. Do you honestly think, friend, that you could put, number one, the whole thing is wrong because it shows here that he was wound from head and the shroud is not broken, but it's from the head clear on down to the feet. And in the Bible, if my Bible is correct here, and I've never found it to be wrong yet, in verse 7 of the 20th chapter it says, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Now, according to the photograph that I have of Jesus Christ here and the so-called Christ here, it's amazing here that the whole body is here. It's amazing that the one that they show the marks and the spear in his side, and it's all together. But that isn't true. That's not what the Bible says. The linen and the head in this particular case was wrapped separately. It was not as the little book shows here of the Roman Catholic Church. It is not that it was all wrapped together. The Bible says it was wrapped separately, and it was laid separately. Absolutely contrary to what the shroud shows. Now, if you think and you want to buy this, you can take it, friend, but I'll tell you this. If you apply the same principles and the same common sense to your everyday life, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. Apply the same thing that you live by in common sense and apply it to this thing, and you'll dismiss it as nothing flat. But let me show you this, if I may. If you take a linen, now we're saying that this linen, or they say that it's 2,000 years old, and it was what the body of the Lord Jesus Christ was wrapped in and so forth. Friend, if you can find anything that you can wrap 2,000 years ago and put it over the face, and it will leave an imprint after only being on that body 3 days and going to leave an imprint for 2,000 years, and then we're going to take a negative of this and so on and so forth like that and all this rumbo jumbo, and you want to buy that, you go ahead, friend. But I'll tell you this, you're deceived. God does not have to deposit with the Roman Catholic Church or the Baptist Church or the Church of Christ or the Mormon Church or the Seventh-day Adventist or Christian Science or any other denomination any piece of cloth to try to prove to you that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. God does not and has not and never has done that. Now that cloth that was on the body 3 days, if you want to convince somebody that that still is the imprint and the mark of the Lord Jesus Christ, I've got to say you've got to be a brick short of the load, friend, to buy that. When the Bible says, and how, why in the world we don't go to the Bible, I don't know. I don't know. We'll run to every other fantasy. That's like saying, you know, here we found the ark. Satan always wants to give you something supernatural to try to impress to you this and that. Well, if the shroud is true, which it is not, then why in the world don't you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you trust him as your Savior? And if that's true, why is not Christ preached for salvation by the church that claims it instead of praying to Mary? Why is the priest substituted for Mary? Why then is the Lord Jesus Christ diminished if the shroud is to prove he is the Son of God? Why isn't he exalted? Why is he then diminished and substituted by the priest, the pope, and praying to everybody, the angels and saints and everything else, instead of the Lord Jesus Christ, if the shroud is proof he is Christ, who is the Savior of the world, and there is none other? The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ stands as an historical fact, and you do not need a phony, I'm saying it emphatically, a phony shroud, shrouded with mysticism, to try to make you as the listener to stand in awe at this kind of religious paraphernalia to impress you that God has some secret thing he's given to this particular denomination to impress you they're the right ones, when in reality, Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. The fact historically, our time is dated from the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Now, if you want to buy all this religious thing and there are people that'll do it, then friends, you go ahead and buy it. There's nothing anybody can do for you. But if you got enough common sense to investigate it, and if you know any other piece of cloth you can lay on anything for 3 days and last 2,000 years without deteriorating, and several hundred years before ever being found in that, you go ahead and buy that. I don't. I credit myself with enough intelligence, and I'm not saying I'm super intelligent, I'm not, but enough common sense not to buy that kind of stuff. Those are the kind of things that turned me off as a boy in religion all my life with all this kind of phony stuff. But I'll tell you something that isn't phony, friend, and that's the Word of God. The Bible is not phony. The Bible has the living truth with it. It verifies to the fact of the resurrection, and if God in his Word says that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and he did, I don't need a piece of cloth that a church claims we've had 2,000 years to impress you that Jesus Christ was crucified. I know he was crucified. All the historical books you can find, Flavius Josephus and his Antiquities, they verify to it. He was seen after he was crucified at that time. He was seen by 500 brethren at one time. I don't need a piece of cloth to try to impress to me, and they're showing this on television as nothing but a satanic devil's delusion to get you so worried about a little piece of cloth, you de-emphasize that Jesus Christ died to be your personal Savior, period, and that's it. You'll get so arguing about the shroud. Well, I want to give the other side of the story that sometimes isn't told. I hope it's a challenge to you. Instead of this, and let me say this, And are you listening? Do you go to a church where you're too scared to ask your pastor, your rabbi, or your priest? If you are, this is exactly what some churches want you to do, friend. Exactly what they want you to do. That way, if you are so scared that you're going to be insulting God, if you even challenge his representative, then you know what? They can feed you anything they want, and you're just like a little puppet in their hands. You don't have enough backbone to go and say, hey, what about this? Tell me about this. We've asked people, said, why don't you go ask your priest? Why don't you go ask your rabbi? Why don't you go ask your pastor? Oh, we wouldn't dare. Then you're a puppet. You would allow a man to put on a robe and control your life and scare you so much you don't even have enough intestinal fortitude to go ask that man why he's teaching what he's teaching if you can't find it in the Bible. Friend, you've got problems if you're that Missy Mousy. I hope you're not that kind of a person, and I hope religion by Satan has not blinded you and scared you so much that you can't go and find out the truth. Well, I've talked on a lot of things, not really got to an Easter message this morning, but I might say this, Jesus Christ did raise from the dead, and don't you ever let a man in the pulpit scare you that you can't go and challenge what he teaches by the Word of God. And if you're that scared, you ought to examine yourself, friend, because he's giving you the fear from God, and he's not giving you the love of God, which will save your soul from eternal damnation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Well, I hope the message this morning challenged you enough not to put your hope in a piece of cloth, but in the infallible Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever, Jesus Christ, who died for you. Well, it's been so good to be with you. I see our time's going this morning. If you have any questions or anything, we'd appreciate you sit down and drop us a line. You can stop here or give us a call anytime you'd like to, and we'd count on the privilege to answer the questions or any questions you might have to help you understand the Bible, and to lead you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Been so good to be with you again this Sunday morning. Until next week, may the truth of God's Word keep marching on.